ending.
Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We've got a fun show for today. We're going to talk about the Hollywood Brown contract and the fact that the Chiefs decided to make moves right after our show ended. We're going to talk about L'Jarius Sneed and some of the bumps in the road that have come along with trade talks. We're going to move on to moves that we feel like should be done before the draft comes around. And finally, we'll end our show off with a segment we've been doing now for a couple of weeks and talk about some of our draft crushes. We got Thiz running the show in the background. My name is Quentin Morris. And now a guy who is ready to join the Jets retirement roster, the old man himself, JP. How are we doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, the Jets really got the geriatric crew going on over there. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, they're turning into the new Cardinals, where they were like, hey, if you were good, you know, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, where you're over the age of 30, let's just go ahead and pop on this roster.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, the Jets fans are excited. I mean, they are excited. They think they got a Super Bowl in the bag now because they got Mike Williams now.
Yeah. You know, when your quarterback's ready to become the vice president of the United States, that's when you know that you're ready to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, you know, he got ousted on that one. There's who was it that took his place?
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they're struggling. So the Jets fans, hey man, they got to have something to look forward to though. I don't know what it would be, but. Other than a retirement home, but they got something to look forward to, I guess. What's up, guys? We got Will. We got Philip. Let's get into this Hollywood Brown conversation that we had 2 weeks
ago. Yeah.
Now it's signed, but
yeah. Now we'll first address just your thoughts on the signing, and then we'll hit into the details of the contract came out, and then we'll also hit up on a little bit of the stuff he said in the press conference he had on Monday.
I'm good with the signing. I know a lot of people say he had drops, he had this, he had the other. But then again, he did play with Lamar Jackson when Lamar wasn't the greatest passer. I mean, we can all agree to that.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of speed. I think he's going to fit well in the system. I love the contract, but I think he's going to fit well. I don't have any problem with it. What about you?
I think it's a great deal. Not just for the player. Look, there really are no bad one-year deals, right?
No.
Just because if it doesn't work, then you're out.
Exactly.
There are exceptions to that. Like if you had a bunch of void years to the end of it, you know, then you can really hurt yourself. But look, this is a $7 million signing for a number three wide receiver, number two wide receiver.
Yep.
And this should be a guy that can open up the top of the defense. You know, this is the kind of signing that I think Kansas City was trying to get with MVS, and it didn't really work out to the full extent that you wanted it to. And we'll see. I think the good thing about this is that, you know, when Hollywood Brown signed this contract is that he talked about in the press conference how he had other options, that there were other teams that had reached out to him, but he decided to come to Kansas City because of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but also because he has a chance to win here. And I think in the back of his head, he knows that he saw what Juju Smith-Schuster did, right? Juju Smith-Schuster was rejected by the rest of the league. That's why he signed here in Kansas City. He didn't sign here in Kansas City for the money. But he came here and he played for a year. He won a Super Bowl. He was able to go and sign a long-term deal with the Patriots and get some more long-term money. I think Hollywood Brown sees that and recognizes that, okay, I turned down some money from other teams, but I know that if I come here in Kansas City and I show the rest of the league what's up, what my ability is, and play to my full ability and effort, that I can go and I can get possibly that Juju Smith-Schuster kind of deal, three-year deal, you know, with a good chunk of guaranteed money. And so I think that's what Brown sees by coming to Kansas City.
Well, and his contract is colorful. I'll put it that way because you know it's $7 million, but he has an opportunity with all the incentives to get up to $11 million.
Yeah, I have the incentives in front of me.
Yeah, and I love them. I mean, they're great. It's perfect for him. It's perfect for the team. I think it's just it's a win-win. You know,
the incentives are interesting because they truly are. Like performance based just on him. Sometimes we'll see like team performances, like sometimes like if you make the Super Bowl, then a player will get $1 million bonus or whatever. But this truly is like a prove it deal for him. It's if he gets 5 touchdowns on the year, he gets $500,000. If he gets 6, he gets $750,000. If he gets 7, he gets $1 million bonus. If he plays 45% of the snaps, he gets $500,000. If he plays 75% of the snaps, he gets $1.5 million. Receiving yards, 500, he gets a $500,000 bonus. If he gets 750, he gets a $750,000 bonus. If he makes 1,000 yards, which he's done once before in his career, he gets $1.5 million. So this is truly a, hey, you've got a decent contract with your $6.5 million guaranteed, $3.5 million he got paid yesterday when he signed that contract. But then the rest of it is just, how are you doing as an individual, as a wide receiver? And honestly, sometimes when we see a lot of these, you know, up to contracts, the word up to is really stretching it out here, because it's like, you're not hitting all your bonuses. Like,
no.
The bonuses are just so extreme. You're not hitting all of them. All of this is realistic for him.
Yeah, it is. It's actually obtainable. And that's, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, he didn't do well the last two teams he was with. He actually did pretty well with the Ravens, given the offense that he had and the quarterback that he had at the time. Of course, he didn't do great with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray wasn't his full-time guy. They had, you know, injuries on the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And not just Kyler Murray, right? There was a reason why Josh Dobbs was playing quarterback for the Cardinals last year.
Exactly.
He was their first choice. So this is a guy that has had been in bad situations, but has shown flashes on the other hand, right? There's
exactly
a reason why this guy was a first-round pick. He talked about in his press conference that he thought he was going to get drafted by Kansas City.
Yeah.
Because Kansas City had worked him out 3 or 4 times during the pre-draft process.
Sure.
And this is another example of Brett Veach somehow always getting his guys, right?
It always comes full circle with that guy. I swear, I've never seen it. I've never seen anybody in all these years be able to do what he does. By pulling, if I don't get him in the draft, that's okay. Because in a year or two, when they fail with that other team, I'm going to make sure we get him. And that's what happens with him. He just ends up getting his guys. I mean, he's 25 years old. He's very quick. He's very hard to maintain at the line of scrimmage. He's just one of those guys that I think can, if he works out with Mahomes in the offseason and they get any kind of continuity together, he's going to be a really nice number two wide receiver. Because I think Rice is going to be the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so. And then you figure that you've got whoever Kansas City ends up drafting, which, you know, we'll talk about some more wide receivers later on in the show. But if you just think about what Kansas City has now, I feel so much better about what they have on the roster. I think this is what we were looking for, right? We were looking for just that, hey, what's that one other piece that you can just get to shore up the rest of the wide receiver room? Because I really don't want you going into another year with the same lineup that you had of not a lot of guys that have proven themselves. And while I think Brown still has a ton to prove at the NFL level, I think he's shown enough that he can come in and be an effective receiver in this system.
I agree. And, you know, we brought back some key players. You know, we got Justin Watson back, which I think was a great move. I mean, he was our Old Faithful last year. Look at who would have ever thought that he would have been like one of the number one wide receivers on our team?
Which is more of an indictment on the wide receiver room than his skill set.
Exactly. It is. But his skill set was there. I mean, anywhere from 7 to 15 yards, he was, you know, mediocre. You get him out in that 15 to 25 yard range on the outskirts, he was lethal. He was always open. And that's what, I mean, he was a huge help for us last year. Huge help. Yeah, he had a couple of drops. Most of them were bullets over the middle, which he's not really an over the middle type of guy. But get him on the outside in that 15 to 20 yard line area, and he's, or 15 to 20 yards out, he's good. He's that guy that just sneaks up on DBs, and that's what I like about him.
I'll make another baseball reference here, because I'm sure the people that watch the football podcast love it. The way you build your wide receiver room, I think, is how baseball teams look to build their starting rotation, right? You're looking for 5 guys, but you're looking for your first and second guy to really be the ones that you're depending on. And then your 3 and 4, you're really hoping that, you know, if they come in, you can depend on them. But, you know, you're not looking for them to be Cy Young winners. And then that number 5 guy, it's really whoever you can get. You know that it's sometimes he's going to struggle, but you're just hoping that he's good enough that you can go out there. And when he goes out there, you know, when you have to depend on him, that hopefully he's able to do his job, but he doesn't have to be the great guy. It can be an older guy that's been in the league for a little bit, or it can just be a young guy that really you don't know exactly what his skill set is, right? I think that's how Kansas City, if you look at the roster now, that's how the wide receiver room is built, right? You've got Rashee Rice. He's the younger guy, but he's the most proven on this roster. You know, that's your number one right there. You've got, or you can even argue that Travis Kelce is your so-called ace, right? He's the proven guy. Yeah. He's the one, the number one in the system, right? Then you've got Rice, who has proven that he can be that wide receiver. And when you get to 2 and 3, that's where it gets really interesting to me, because I still think Kansas City's drafting a guy. I think that probably in the first round, Kansas City's going to go with their with a wide receiver. And that's your, you know, 2 or 3, and then Hollywood, your 2 or 3. And right there is a good setup, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the
lineup that you're looking at right now, and I think every Chiefs fan should be happy as of right now what you're going into the draft. Because as of right now, during the offseason, before you're heading into the draft, I think Kansas City only has one more, maybe two more things that they need to do before the draft starts.
Yeah, I agree. Looking at who we brought back, I mean, you got Sky Moore. I want to answer this question real quick. It says, do you think coaching in the wide receiver room? Yes. I do think that was an issue last year, Chris. It was pretty obvious, but it was strange to me because talking to people, they didn't think it was so much of an issue, but it was kind of obvious that it was, because you had the same wide receivers that did really well the year before. I mean, I've never seen that many drops out of a Chiefs team. And I mean, I'm going back years where they were really bad. I don't think I've ever seen that happen, especially out of a Mahomes team. So I think there was continuity issues. There was timing issues. There were so many things that went on last year. And a lot of that has to do with the wide receivers coach. He was new to the system. Came from the defensive side of the ball somehow, because he played wide receiver at Blue Valley College or something. I don't know. Became a wide receivers coach. I'm hoping and I'm hearing that they may bring in him in some help this year, but they're not going to get rid of him. I can tell you he will be there this year. So hopefully that changes things. Phillip said KT, Kadarius Toney could still have a great year. I believe you.
Oh, geez.
And I agree with that to a degree. The problem that I'm having is what I'm hearing. And if things go the way that they want it to go, I don't know if he'll be here by the start of camp. I just don't know yet. I mean, that's kind of where they're leaning right now, but we'll just have to see. Veach doesn't like to get rid of rookies, period. Especially guys that have shown flashes of being very talented. But in the same aspect, I mean, he lied to a lot of people. I mean, hell, I defended him and basically lied to me. So, I don't know, man. That's going to be hard to overcome with this team. Andy and them guys do not like to be lied to. So, it is what it is. We'll see what happens with him. I think maybe he's kind of – I know he's regretting what he did. And hopefully he'll, you know, make amends somehow. But I don't know. That's going to be interesting. Sky Moore, he just – look, man – I'm going to say this without being a dick. He had that Mecole Hardman second year with Kansas City attitude. It was like, oh, man, I just won a Super Bowl. I caught a ball. You know, I scored a touchdown. I ran a ball back. Now I've got this chip on my shoulder that I can do whatever. I don't think these guys lost everything they knew. I think some of them got a little arrogant. Some of them got a little irritated because they weren't playing, and it hurt them. Because regardless of how bad your wide receiver coach is, you still remember what you did the year before. You're still playing with the same quarterback. If you're not learning the routes and you're not learning the schemes, that's on you for whatever Andy pulls up for that week. And I think that's part of it. They weren't really putting their all into it. MVS was a great example of that until the playoffs came. And then he just kind of, you know, after all the rhetoric and everything that happened to him, he decided to come on strong a little bit. this, I think this is going to be a different year when it comes to the wide receiver room. And I don't know if Embry's going to have that much of a – he's not going to have that much control over him this year, I should say that. But KT makes me a little bit nervous. I will say that. I don't know if he's going to be here come training camp. I just don't know. He may very well be, but I love Xavier Worthy. And he's actually, weirdly enough, Chris, he's slated on some mock draft to come to us at 32. But anyway, I don't know what's going to happen with Kadarius. I think what's a deciding factor is going to be the draft. I really do believe that. I think that's going to be a huge deciding factor whether the Chiefs decide to hang on to him for the rest of the year. That's just my opinion. But anyway, I just wanted to answer those and knock them out because I saw them right there. What do you think, Quentin?
I can't believe we didn't lead the show with this. Happy birthday, Andy Reid.
Yeah, Andy Reid's my man.
It's his birthday. I can't believe we didn't start the show with that. That's on me. That's my bad. Got buried in my notes.
Hey, I put it on Twitter today, so I was like, and all over the other social media, so I was like, you know, I said my piece. You didn't do yours.
Yeah. There he goes. So that's my, I put it out in the world. Yeah. Look, the wide receiver room, I think it obviously was bad. It was the worst part of the team. And you're looking to rebuild it. The Hollywood Brown signing is big. It's a big deal because it just adds the depth that you needed. Plus, he's this piece that Kansas City hasn't had. And then they've tried to get that, right? They've guys like Mecole Hardman and Kadarius Toney, I would argue, was supposed to be like take the top off the defense, catch the ball on little slants, go 50 yards down the field type stuff. But neither one of them have really become that guy. Hollywood Brown is that guy. Yeah. You've got that taken care of. The good thing about the signing, too, is that heading into the draft, you're not forced to take a wide receiver in the first round, right? Yeah. Like, let's say Kansas City, the way the draft works for all teams is every team gives every player a round grade. There's not 32 first-round guys. Exactly. There are 32 players do not get a first-round grade. It's usually anywhere from like 15 to 22, okay? So usually by the time Kansas City's picking, they're not drafting a first-round talent by the time they're drafting. So let's say Kansas City comes up and there's a huge run on wide receivers, right? I mean, we're talking like 8 dudes go in the first round before Kansas City gets up. They try to trade up and get one of their guys. They can't do it. So you get at 32. Well, if you aren't able to sign Hollywood Brown, you might be forced to draft a wide receiver that you're not that confident in because you're like, damn, dude, we need a wide receiver. We can't go into another year with our current room. We need a wide receiver. We need to get it now. But because you signed Hollywood, you're able to just say, man, that sucks. Yeah. You know, we wanted, you know, one of these guys, and then they're not available. Man, they just went on a run. That's fine. You know, we know that there's some other guys that we can get up in the third round that we think, you know, have problems, so they shouldn't go between now and then. Let's go ahead and draft an edge rusher. Let's go ahead and draft a corner. Whatever position that they think has sort of that best player available kind of mentality.
Yeah.
That's what you're preventing yourself from being forced into by signing Hollywood Brown, on top of getting, like we've talked about, a good contract and for a good player. In terms of some of the other guys on the roster, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman technically isn't even on the team anymore, and Kadarius.
Right now, not, yeah.
Not all three of those guys are going to be on the roster to start the season. I assume that either Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney, one of them is not on the roster by the time the year starts.
I think it's going to be – out of the two, I can promise you it's going to be Kadarius. It's not going to be Sky Moore. They're not going to – look, Veach puts his head through a wall when he has to get rid of a draft pick or a rookie. So somebody he's got on a very minimal contract. Sky Moore has not done anything to piss him off. What's up, Justin? But Kadarius has, and he really pissed off Andy. So – and that's kind of hard to do. I don't see Sky Moore going anywhere. Now, we have right now, I want to say 9 or 10 wide receivers on our roster right now. That's including practice squad guys.
Yeah.
What irritates me the most, and I want to get this out of the way because I'm a little fucking irritated with it. I don't understand. I get Veach's mindset to a degree. But we're hanging on to guys that we're paying $750,000 that never leave the practice squad. 4 years of being on the practice squad. They've done nothing for this team. When they have seen the field, they've done nothing for this team. I'm going to say his name because it is what it is. Cornell Powell is a great example of that. But then you have guys like Boo Boo Smith that's out there that is a very good wide receiver, extremely fast, runs great routes, hasn't – the guy is a special teams god to a degree. If you go back and watch his film, I have a ton of it. And yet he's not signed yet. He could be one of those practice squad guys, but he's not on there yet. Now, that may change in the next few weeks, may change right after the draft. I don't know. But right now, we got guys that aren't seeing – I don't see what they're seeing in them. Because after 4 years, Cornell Powell's a great example, 4 years of him being here. They let Jody Fortson go because he wasn't seeing the field. Why would you hang on to Cornell Powell? I'm confused with that one. I think that's going to change, especially when the draft comes. You're going to see a lot of guys disappear. But I think you're going to see some undrafted guys, guys that have worked out with the team before and then come back. I think Andy will. He said, did they try and bring back? No, not yet. No, they haven't. Smith Marset has not been, I don't think he's even been talked about. I haven't heard his name in a while anyway. I'll put it that way. But they have guys that, honest to God, I mean, I know you have to have depth in that area, but if your depth is not going to help you and prove that they can't help you, there's really no point in keeping them on the team when you got guys that can. Everybody in that facility has guys like Abubu Smith that they like him. He's a very good player. Yeah, he's going to go back to the Panthers. That's right. I'm glad you said that because I vaguely remember that. But and they're not getting that opportunity. They're well-liked within the facility. They're liked by the quarterbacks. I don't know, man. It's a little confusing to me, but part of that is Veach's mindset on not getting rid of these guys he either drafts or decides to hang on to for some odd reason. I don't know. He loves rookies. He loves young guys. He loves the guys that he doesn't have to pay a whole lot of money. But in the same aspect, you got three or four guys that have been here for 2 and 3 years, if not longer, that you're paying a lot of money to, and they're really not doing that great. Bring somebody in that you can trust. Bring somebody in that you know can play special teams. You know that can catch a football. That's going to be there in a pinch. That's your depth. Not guys that you come out and drop a pass or run the wrong route. Because if we're having guys that have been on in the starting lineup, in the 53, dropping passes, what do you think these guys are going to do? That's my only gripe when it comes to Veach. That's his only downfall, in my opinion. I understand he's got a very cheap roster, but sometimes that doesn't always equate to the right roster, in my opinion. I don't know, man. I would much rather see other guys get an opportunity, to, even if they're on the practice squad, to have an opportunity to move up to the 53 if they have, it's a pinch, if they need them. That's just my whole thought on that. There's a lot of wide receivers on this team right now. A lot of them. Go look at the roster right now. There's a lot of guys. Some of them you probably never heard of, you know. So I think that's going to change, but Cornell Powell just kind of blows me out of the water. I'm sorry, but that one there just throws me off. And I know he's a big body guy. I get that. Big body didn't do any good if he's not seeing the field, if he's not going to be good when he does see the field. That's my only gripe about it. But anyway, we can move on. We got to talk about this Snead situation real quick.
We do. It's turning into last year's version of the Chris Jones conversation, where it's like, it's like every week there's more news, but nothing moves.
Well, not only that, it's like bullshit news. I mean, it's so much bullshit. It's comical to watch all of these guys pop onto the scene, make a big fucking, a bunch of noise, and then it's not real. We talked about this on our show. Not this last week, but the week before is when we started talking about this situation. Actually, before that, when he got tagged, we kind of knew the situation with what Veach was going to do. We also talked about the Titans. We talked about the Colts. That was the week before last. I'm blown out of the water that people fall into this trap. The trap is somebody jumped on, whether it's a guy from the Colts or somebody else that just jumps, decides to jump on social media and make a bunch of claims, regardless if they're real or not. That was not real. They have talked. Now, Schefter, I'm going to say this because Schefter was kind of wrong on this, and I think he went a little too far with it. I understand he was irritated with all the talk going on around the NFL about him being sneak going to the Colts. That was never a thing. It was, did they talk? Yes, they did. Regardless of what anybody's saying, everybody knows they did talk. Did it go anywhere? Absolutely not. In fact, I think the Titans were closer than the Colts were. The two points that are holding this up are the two things that would hold any player up. Part of it is what Veach wants for him. Part of it is what Snead's asking for. Everybody says he's always asking to be the highest paid corner in the league. There's probably a reason behind, I'm not going to say there is because I don't want to go too far, but he doesn't want to leave Kansas City. He's made that very clear. We knew that 3 weeks ago. We knew that 5 weeks ago. He doesn't want to leave. The Chiefs are perfectly fine paying him on the tag. They're not upset about that. He's asking more money because he doesn't want to really – look, here's my thing, and I think it's his thing too. He's not a stupid individual. You got to think of it from both aspects. Yes. Does he want to get the bag? Of course he does. This man made less than $5 million in 4 years playing for the Chiefs, no matter how you look at it. A $19 million payday that's guaranteed to you no matter what, that's what you're making, is a hell of a lot better than going to a team that you may not be as successful with, that's going to have an out for you if you're not as successful, if you do have another reoccurring knee injury, and then you're not getting shit. You may get the same amount of guarantees, but you're really not getting anything. You miss out on it because, look, no matter how you look at it, the Colts don't have a shot at the Super Bowl this year. The Titans don't have a shot at the Super Bowl this year. They just don't. So why would you walk away from a team that's going to pay you basically $20 million, then you got playoff money, Super Bowl money, and everything else that comes along with it, a better chance at those two things than you do with any other team that's interested in you right now. He's not an ignorant person. That is part of the whole game with this. But yet, everybody wants to fall into this trap about, oh, well, one guy on that's a Colts guy said, oh, he just got signed, it's done. That was on Saturday morning. That never happened. He was never even close to being signed Saturday. Never even close. This stuff, if it does happen, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, because it may very well happen. You're probably not going to see it happen until the draft. It's just not, it's not something that you're going to see. And he doesn't want to leave, man. He knows this. If I go to another football team that has a mediocre cornerback on that football team, and that's going to be my counterpart, I'm probably not going to look as good. That's number one. Number two, I can go there, and they may not give me – my contract may be completely backloaded. If I could have the same incentives that other teams have or that other players have, like we just saw with Marquise – with Hollywood Brown, similar to that, performance-based, you know, time on the field-based, all these different things. Your performance when you're a corner is based off who you're playing with. If you don't have a good safety room and a good cornerback room that's going to be your counterpart, you may not be as good. McDuffie has been a great partner for him for the last 2 years. That's what he has been needing through his, prior to that, the prior 2 years, that's what he needed. Not that he was the worst cornerback in the league, but he was nowhere near as successful as he's been the last 2 years. He's not a dumb individual. He knows what's best for him. Then you look at the fact that, okay, do I want to play for a team that has turf when I got a bad knee? Regardless of what anybody says, turf is worse for you. And you go ask the 1,600 players in the NFL right now, and they'll all tell you that turf is worse for you than grass is. Why would you want to go out there and play for a team unless you're getting a shit ton of injury guarantees if you're going to play on turf? I don't understand why the conversation has gotten to this point. Was Schefter wrong in saying what he did? Probably. Because he kind of threw a lot of people, including that Rossini girl. He threw her under the bus as well. But I understand why he was frustrated. I get it. The NFL has rules when it comes to basically insiders going out there and announcing stuff. Then you have guys that are copying and pasting and throwing shit out there. And then you have other guys that are just saying whatever to say it. And that's just not cool. He had a lot of people mad. Those guys had everybody mad. Now everybody that's with the Colts are backtracking. Other people aren't on Twitter anymore, or X, or whatever you want to call it. And then you got him Schefter that's pissed off. And apparently Albert Breer said something and deleted it because he was frustrated with it. When you hear things, you got to take some of it with a grain of salt unless it comes from somebody that really knows. And it's just hard. But the whole point is the Snead really wants to stay with the Chiefs. And they don't mind paying him. They don't mind doing it. They wouldn't have tagged him if they didn't think it was good, if it wasn't something that they couldn't do or they weren't comfortable with him coming back for a year. Because regardless of how good a player is, there's always that chance that you may end up stuck with that player. So everybody's got to relax when it comes to him. Everybody wants all these draft picks for him. I get it. But in the same aspect, he plays on the tag. You're going to get a comp pick next year. No matter how you look at it, you're probably going to get a third-round comp pick for him. If they're going to offer a third this year, what is the difference if we get a third next year?
Because you're not necessarily guaranteed that third.
Yeah, but there's a 98% chance you're going to get it. They're going to walk away from it. You're not getting anything.
There are four things that I want to talk about here.
Go ahead. I had to get that off my chest because it was frustrating.
No, that's fine. There are four things that are sort of holding up this trade. One is the Snead financial compensation, right? He needs to get a new contract. That has to get worked out before he gets traded anywhere. So if he wants $20-plus million a year, we're to the point now in the free agency market where a lot of teams who would have been able to hold a $20-plus million, you know, deal, while the salary cap situation has now gotten more strenuous for teams in the NFL because they've already gone out and signed big money guys. Yeah, you could make their cap hit lower, you know, in the first year, but, you know, some teams don't like to go out and do big signing bonuses like the Buccaneers, right? Mm-hmm. They're not a team known for. So there are some teams that where it's just like it's not as easy as just being like, well, your salary cap will be low this year and then it'll explode next year. Some teams aren't like that. Some teams don't want to do stuff like that. So there's that portion of it that you have to work out a Snead contract and it's going to need to be a 3-4-5 year deal. And it's going to have significant money up front because when you get traded on the tag, the player and the agent have a lot of leverage because you just traded for me. If I just wait it out, then I can hit the free agent market anyways. Correct. So the player has a ton of leverage in that situation. So that's one. That's part one. Two, you've got to deal with what the Chiefs want compensation back-wise. I still think a second and a fifth. The later this goes on, it's probably not going to be as good of compensation because, like I said, that's just how this works, where the longer these things drag out. What I think is fortunate enough for the Chiefs is that because that they have the ability to hold them on the cap dollar, you have the cap space to do it. That's why you move the Mahomes money, is that you're able to hold him on this tag that I don't think the Chiefs are going to feel like they're forced to have to trade him. And they've said that. They've come out publicly and they've said that we're okay with keeping him, you know, on the tag. If the worst situation is that you get to keep a top-tier corner on your team for another year, yeah. Like, oh, well.
That's terrible. I mean,
gosh, doodles.
Yeah.
So that's the second part. I think the third part of it is, and I think this is where it gets kind of tricky, is the timing of this. I've already kind of talked about this in terms of timing for the big contracts has passed, but I think we're gonna hit that dead period in the NFL. There's not gonna be a whole lot of news up until a few weeks before the draft, right? March Madness is gonna take over a lot of the sports talk stuff, and the NFL is gonna kind of die down a little bit. So teams aren't going to be wanting to make a lot of big moves right now, especially with their draft picks, because the draft is coming up. And now teams are really getting into the groove of looking into players. Who do they want? So why would I give up a ton of draft capital now when I'm still trying to figure out what's available, right, to me? Like, why would I give up a hypothetical second-round pick for Legarius Sneed when what if there's a corner out there that I think I can get in the second round that's around his same skill level? I don't know. I need to look and watch film and do my homework here. So I think that's another part of the situation, that things are going to die down and have died down since the first week of free agency, and we're only seeing some of these small one-year deals now, and you're not making a big trade while you're still in the middle of your process of trying to figure this out.
And there's no rush to. That's the thing. No rush to do anything with Sneed right now.
There really isn't, and on nobody's side. The fourth thing I'll say is, and this is just a comment on, I think, what Philip put in the chat, where he says that there are two options here. There is he gets tagged and traded, or he gets tagged and signed by Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City has any long-term plans for Sneed. Sneed might play for the 2024-2025 season. Sneed's not playing on this team in 2025-2026. That's not happening. I don't see that at all. There's only so many guys that you can hold on to for a while. And one of the other parts of this is I do think that teams are scared of his medicals, right? At beginning of the year, we were talking about Legarius Sneed's knee. If you guys remember, it kept him out of training camp. It kept him out of preseason games. Now, it didn't seem to affect him during the year, right, which is important, that he was able to play, 20 games on that knee, and he didn't have any problems with it. But he did show up on the injury report a few times. I remember coming on our show on Thursday, and it was like, ooh, Legarius Sneed, you know, he got treatment on that knee. He was able to play. He was still able to do that. But, you know, the guy's, 26, 27?
27.
So if you're signing him to, a four-year deal, what's that knee look like in 2 years when he's 29 years old? And he has another, 40-ish games on his body. Is that huge contract you're signing him to still going to be worth it when you
And that's what he sees as well. You know, he sees the exact same thing, Quentin. You're 100% right. He sees the same thing. Okay, if they're not going to give me injury guarantees and they're wanting to pay me less than or around what my tag is this year, why would I leave? Because I'm guaranteed $19.3 million this year. Why would I leave? And I know he sees that. The one thing I will say, you were right about, the Chiefs also, when you tag a player, that actually hurts your draft, is what you're going to get, your compensation. It doesn't help your compensation at all. Because teams assume that you're doing the tag and trade and that you're not going to be able to pay them. Especially with just coming off of that, you know, we just made that Chris Jones deal, so everybody's going to offer less than what he's worth. But on the flip side of that, teams are a little skeptical about signing a guy that does have a knee injury or a reoccurring knee injury. Again, he didn't affect him during the regular season. He did pop up a couple of times. But that's something that makes teams skeptical. He knows that. The Chiefs aren't. They're fine with bringing him back. He's fine with coming back. This wasn't a situation when they tagged him that they didn't want to keep him. They thought, okay, let's see what we can get for him. If we're not going to get the right money or the right compensation, he doesn't get the contract he wants, he sticks around. And so far, neither one of them have happened.
I would actually say that the reason his knee problems, potential, you know, future knee problems coming up, I think would be a reason why he would want to get that deal signed as soon as possible.
Yeah, but if they're not offering him what he's expecting or what he's going out for, and they're not giving him the contract that's going to help him in the future. Yeah, you can sign a big contract all day long, but if there's no injury guarantees in there and it's all backloaded, and then all of a sudden you're injured in a year or 10 games into the season and you don't get paid, or your long-term contract just got cut off because of how the contract was set up, there's no point in signing it.
Yeah, you just need to make sure that you're getting like a signing bonus up front and the first 2 years of your deal are guaranteed, which are not crazy things to ask for when you're in the situation that he's in. He has a lot of leverage in terms of what contract he can get. Now, I don't think that he's a guy that can get, you know, a $24, $25 million a year contract, a $23 million a year contract. What he needs to look for is a decent signing bonus and a contract that is essentially a guaranteed contract for two of the 3-year deals, which is really what I think is what most contracts in the NFL are. It really is what Kansas City is not going to be able to offer him. So this is something that we need to look for when we're trading him away, because that's what Snead's going to be looking for in his compensation going to another team. I think the question then becomes, you know, what teams are out there that should be interested in him? I still think that the Eagles should be interested in him. Everybody's talking about how great the Eagles have been in this offseason, and I'm like, what have you done to fix the problems you had during the regular season? Your linebackers, corners, and safeties are still bad. You're not going to be a good defense. I don't care that you added a running back. I don't care that you added another pass rusher. Your linebackers and corners are still bad. The Eagles should be looking to trade for Legarius Sneed. That would be an easy fix for a team that everybody's talking about how they've had such a great offseason. I don't know what maybe when everybody else is on board for like something that's happening and I'm like, and I can't see it. At this point, I'm like, what am I not seeing? So the Eagles, I think, should still be interested. The Colts are an interesting one to me. I do think that when Adam Schefter said that the Chiefs and Colts haven't had any conversations, I think those words were chosen very specifically.
Yes,
because
they were.
I bet the Chiefs and Colts haven't had conversations. What I'm betting is that the Colts and the agents have had plenty of conversations.
Exactly.
And that when Adam Schefter said that, it was just like, technically they haven't talked. And it's just trying to – it seems like the Colts are trying to, you know, blow the smoke away from them because they've been on top of the conversations for a while.
Well, I agree with you.
The Falcons are another team that I know that should be interested, right? There are other teams out there with the right draft capital and the salary cap space and the need at the position to have to go in and be able to fix it. And trading for Snead would be a pretty good fix.
I don't know. Have you looked at the Falcons' cap space that they have left? Because they've spent a lot of money.
They have spent a lot of money.
And they were buried anyway, so... you know, that's the problem with a lot of these teams is that, one, you're either limiting yourself by signing a player that you may think has an injury issue or could potentially have an injury issue during that contract versus signing somebody that doesn't or signing two or three guys that you may be able to bring in. So that's another problem that Snead's going to run into, and I think his agent's running into. I don't think the Colts ever – look, I want to address one thing. I don't believe for 1 second that Snead is asking for $23, $24, $25 million a year. If he is, that's just – that.
Why wouldn't he be?
I think that's just – because I don't think he is. He knows – his agents know that he has a knee issue. He knows what – agents are smart enough to know what teams are going to offer. And when you go too far with it and then you stick to those guns, a lot of times you get blown off. I think he may be asking for $20 million a year, $21 million a year, which they still don't want to pay. He may be going a little higher than that just to blow these teams off that he doesn't want to play for. You know, he probably gave – I'm sure, a lot of players give lists to an agent. These are the teams I do not want to go to. If I'm going there, they better pay me huge. And that could be a huge part of this problem too. I'm not saying it is, but I imagine that's part of the – it could be part of the problem. Everybody has to – realize that there's so many different variables when it comes to him. And a lot of it's him, not just his injury, not just, anything. It's him wanting to be with a football team that's going to not only excel him, he has an opportunity to make sure he's going to get paid with guarantees, no matter what. And a lot of these teams, I'm going to say this, a lot of these teams watch Buffalo and teams like that sign somebody to a $120 million contract that blows out their ACL in 4 games, or the Jets that sign Aaron Rodgers and he blows out his, tears his ACL or MCL. It's one thing after another with these teams that sign these big name players, and they're starting to see the rotation of misery that it's putting them in, the cap hell that it puts them in. Look, the Colts are cheap. It is what it is. Ballard and Ezra are cheap. They're definitely not going to spend that kind of money on a player that they are worried about. So I think the Titans were closer than the Colts were. I really do. I think they were closer than the Colts were. And I have a weird feeling if he does get traded, it might be to the Titans. There was other teams out there that, you know, called about him too. It wasn't just those two football teams. Minnesota was interested in him. There was a lot of teams that were interested in him. It just didn't happen. It's crazy that seven football teams or six football teams were interested in him and not one of those football teams have signed him yet. That tells me a lot. So I think everybody's got to relax a little bit and chill when it comes to the Snead talk. Because I don't think anything's going to happen until after the draft. I really don't.
I think the trade talks open up again the week of the draft, that sort of time, because that's when teams have like...
Well, yeah, it could be during the draft. Because
during the draft, the draft, if, you know, for whatever, you know, I just think that, I mean, if the worst case scenario for Kansas City is that they're carrying a $19 million cap charge, something that they've already worked into the salary cap this year, sure. If they've worked it in and you get Snead on your team for another year, like, it's really not a bad situation for Kansas City. I just think that they get, you know, if you can get good value for him, I'd still think that the right move is to move off of Snead and try and get some draft capital back in order to continue to build your team for the future. Like, I still think that that is the correct move from Kansas City's viewpoint in terms of a team building exercise. I think it's the right move, but you know, sometimes, you know, things just don't fall the way that you want them to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, do I want to see him leave? No, I don't. And the reason is because it's really hard to find two cornerbacks that work as well as together as him and McDuffie do. I mean, they were really the best cornerback duo in the league this year. And they were really close to being that last year in 2022. So it's really difficult to find two guys that work that well together. But in the same aspect, I fully understand what you're saying. You got a guy that does have a knee issue that's going to be turning 28. Do you want to sign him to a long-term deal, or do you want to play him on the tag one more year, get what you can out of him, get your third-round pick, comp pick at the end of the year when he goes to somebody else, and then move on? He's still getting life-changing money. You're not doing any damage to him by keeping him on the tag. You're not hurting him in any way. He wouldn't have agreed to the tag if that would have been the case. He would have fought it in some way. I've even seen people say, well, Snead's holding out. A couple of big outlets said that. That Snead was going to hold out if he had to play on the tag. He absolutely will not. I will stake everything on the fact that if he's on the tag when the training camp when training camp comes around, he's definitely not going to hold out. There's no way. He wouldn't do that to himself. He wouldn't do that to the team. There's no way he's going to hold out. Why would you hold out when you're making $19.3 million? I mean, that's a whole $16 million more than you made 4 years that you were with the team. Why would you hold out? That'd be stupid. Chris Jones already had his big bag. That's why he was able to hold out.
Yeah.
Snead is not. So,
and I mean, you're literally talking a 400% raise from what he's made over. There's no way. There's no way he's holding out.
No. But anyway, I think that's kind of where it's going to stand. You can get a trade during the draft for him and another player and a draft pick. You can do a lot of different things, but it's just not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen until then. And I really don't. I don't know. He said, well, the Chiefs signed another wide receiver or wait until the draft. I think they're going to wait until the draft. I heard that they were looking at one other guy, but I don't know if that's going to happen. They may, but I have a weird feeling. If they do sign somebody, it's not going to be a name like Hollywood Brown. It's going to be somebody under his skill level. It's just going to be a depth piece. I don't think it's going to be another guy that is got a name or is, you know, I guess at his level. I just don't see it happening right now. I want to say this. I have a weird feeling if it does work out, it might end up being the Titans at getting. So I don't know if the Colts will ever get him. I just don't know. There's something that really put the halt on that.
Yep.
And we just have to see. But anyway, moving on.
Let's move on to we've got a couple. I have two. You have two, right, JP?
Yeah.
So we have two. I don't care which one we go first.
This just pick it, man. Pick whoever you want to pick, brother.
I know who my two are, so if I see mine, then you know I'll just go with that one.
Absolutely.
Okay, James Williams, that's me. Safety out of Miami. Look, this guy is impressive, not just because he's 6'5 and 215 pounds.
That's impressive. I'm sorry. That is impressive. For a safety, I mean, that's freaking huge.
I'm only 6'4". But what I find very impressive by him is his snap alignment. And he's played during the 2023 season, right? He played on the defensive line in the slot, corner, box, and deep safety. This is a guy that literally has played everywhere along the defense. That is a Steve Spagnuolo specialty right there.
Okay, he's a dream.
That is 100% a guy that Kansas City would like to draft. He's pretty explosive too. So if you look at like his wingspan is 94th percentile. this is just a large human being. So this is a guy that I think that Kansas City would love to have. He's an effective blitzer. He's a good downhill tackler, right? This is a guy that is not afraid to run from contact. I mean, I would be afraid if a 6'5 man started running at me. He's also just a good tackler. Somebody who doesn't just do the bump and run like we see some corners do, and it's so frustrating when you see someone, everybody knows what I'm talking about, when you see that cornerback that just tries to like arm shove them out of bounds when they're in the middle of the field. It's like, wrap him up. They taught you that in Pee Wee. So this is a guy that I think Kansas City would love to come and grab. It's a Steve Spagnuolo specialty to me. Anybody that I see play in college multiple positions, I mean, he played deep. His snap count was 300 snaps at deep safety, 254 in the box, 60 along the defensive line, 97 in the slot, and 19 as a pure corner. So he really played all over the field.
Okay, here's the thing, Quentin. That's just an unfair thing. When you think about it from a wide receiver standpoint, a quarterback standpoint, holy shit. Can you imagine being a wide receiver or a quarterback for that matter and seeing a 6'5" safety?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you throw on that guy? That's the thing. He blocked, I was watching that play, he blocked out the wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think the quarterback ever saw him. See over this guy.
Yeah, you can't see over him. That's an anomaly to a degree to have a safety that tall and that big. That's not normal. I mean, you don't normally see a 6'5" safety. Pretty crazy, man. I like the way he plays.
Man-to-man guy. I mean, he really can like do it all. And I love getting defensive back guys that are like that can play so many different positions. And you know what? Funny enough, so does Steve Spagnuolo. So
yeah, he does. He does. He loves versatile players, and that's a perfect fit for him. I don't have any complaints about that dude. Who's next, Diz? Oh, I looked at this guy, and I'm watching his film. This is Joe Alt, and if anybody that's over the age of 20, or I'm sorry, I should say 35, would know who his dad is. If you're a Chiefs fan and you watch football back in the 80s or 90s and 2000s, his dad played for the Chiefs. He was a standout. This guy is 6'9". Understand that. 6'9". 321 pounds. He's an offensive tackle. Notre Dame. The guy is another guy, wingspan, 94, 95 percentile. Strong as an ox. His legs are unbelievably strong. I think when I was looking, if I'm not mistaken, he was benching, his leg press was around 1,100 pounds, which is insane. I didn't really pay attention to too much of what Notre Dame did, for that matter. But then I saw his name and I thought, I got to watch some highlights of this guy. He's an animal. Nobody is going to be able to get around him in the NFL. 6'9", 321 pounds. I don't know what his exact arm span is, but it's insane. What can you imagine a left tackle? Exactly. Can you imagine a left tackle with that size, dude? That height and that size? It's insane. You can't get around the dude. You can't get around him, no matter how hard you try. He would fit very well in this system. Mahomes needs a guy that he can count on every snap. His dad, look, his football IQ, by the way, is insane. In fact, he was one of the guys that they picked out because he knows how to play the position with his football IQ, and he can use every bit of it to his ability. But he's also got his dad, and his dad was an amazing player. If anybody watched him play, he was phenomenal. Go out and look at his film. I would love to see him on the Chiefs. He would be phenomenal for Mahomes. He would close that entire side up, and when you need a running back to get through, he's going to get him through. It's that simple. Go out and watch his film. He's amazing.
Look, this is a guy that's going to go top 10. Like, he's going to be the first. He's going to be the first not wide receiver quarterback taken off the board.
I don't know if he'll go top 10, but he's going to be up there. I mean, he will be up there.
He might go 5 to the Chargers.
I don't know. If he fell at all for any reason whatsoever, man, it would be great. What do you say? Problem with Joe Aldi won't be available. Oh, I agree. I mean, I figured if he fell, that would be phenomenal. I would love to see him play for the Chiefs. Love to see it. I know his dad would love to see it. He played his whole career with us. Guy's an animal. Pure animal. Anyway, moving on. Who's next, Diz?
Brian Thomas Jr., this is a wide receiver that if I think it weren't for guys like Malik Nabers and, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think because of those two guys specifically, Brian Thomas Jr. is undervalued in this draft. You want to talk about an explosive wide receiver. He had an 84th percentile vertical, an 81st percentile broad jump, 89th percentile 10-yard split. What does all of that mean? He's explosive. He ran a 4.33 40, which is 95th percentile. All of that means he can get off the line of scrimmage quickly, and it shows that in his film. He's able to start and stop quickly. He demonstrates, like, good route-running ability. You know, he's, once again, like we saw with the Kansas City Chiefs this year, where we had guys that sort of, you know, instead of doing straight cuts a line where they sort of faded out, this is not a guy that does that. He played in, you know, a better conference in the NFL or in college. So we know that, you know, he has top end guys. He's facing good talent every week. Look, this is a guy that I do think has a chance to be drafted by Kansas City, because with everybody else in the draft, Brian Thomas Jr. could fall down to 32. If he does, be prepared. For the rest of the NFL, because this is a scary guy that I do think, if it weren't for some of the other guys above him this year, if he was coming out next year, then I think this would be talked about as the best wide receiver in the class. Kansas City could always use another, you know, intermediate threat, and I think that on top of everything else that he does, Brian Thomas Jr. is very good after the catch. So, yeah, this is a guy that I think realistically Kansas City could actually get. And he, I mean, you want to play press coverage on him like we just saw in that film, he'll blow by you. You want to play some zone stuff, he runs crisp enough routes where you can find the soft spot in the zone. I mean, this is a guy that really, really, really good if Kansas City were to be able to get him. And if Kansas City gets him, he would immediately become the second wide receiver option on the team, only because Rice has been here. He's more talented than Rice. I'll say that right here, right now.
Woof. I mean, I'd have to see that. I would have a hard time with that one. I knew Rice was going to be phenomenal when he came out. I figured he would fit well in this system. Until I see it, I'm going to have a hard time believing that one. But I do agree with you. He's a good player. He's explosive as hell. And that's something that I think Will just asked me if I thought Albert Lewis was a Hall of Famer. I just noticed that. I'll answer the question in just a minute. I think he's a great player. I think he would fit well within our system. And I like his size. His size is – it's kind of in that intermediate. He's a little bit big, not too big. I just like – he's got good route running abilities too, and I think he's going to be – he's going to do well wherever he's at, hopefully, but I think he would be a good fit in Kansas City. Xavier Thomas, man. I don't know if you paid any attention to Clemson football. I know people aren't big on this guy. I kind of am. He's not the biggest guy as far as weight is concerned, but for a defensive end, he's perfect. He's got a lot of speed around the corners. He's really quick off the ball, long arms, 245 pounds, 6'2". I don't know if we got film on this guy or not, but man, he's a phenomenal player. He's very quick off the ball. If you, that move right there, I want you to play that again and tell me, anybody that actually watched football in the 90s, tell me who that reminds you of. Watch that move one more time. That dude is, watch this move from right here. There's one person that that move right there reminded me of, Derek Thomas. The speed off the edge and as hard as he hit that quarterback and his the way he rounded the corner right there just reminds me so much of how Derek played the game, especially in his younger days. He's so damn quick off the ball, man. Oh, absolutely, dude. I think that guy has got a bright future in the NFL. His speed and his athleticism and his intelligence is insane. I'm blown away that people are not talking about him more than they are. Just a great player. What do you think of him, Quentin?
I think, look, if Kansas City were to use, you know me, right? I think that Kansas City should always go out and draft defensive edge rushers because they're just such a premium position. And if you're able to find a top tier one, you know, you should always be taking swings at defensive edge guys, pass rushers in general. Anybody with that sort of speed off the ball, you see that he has some good hand moves, needs to develop some more of it, but really everybody that comes in the NFL does. Yeah. You see the athleticism and the explosiveness off the ball is such a huge advantage, especially for smaller tackles in the NFL, right? And tackles that don't have as good a footwork where if you're able to get to the outside, it's hard for them to recover. So, yeah, they should always be taking swing at edge rushers. And if Kansas City is able to get a guy like that who has that raw talent already, you can easily develop him into, if not a great pass rusher, someone that can complement Karlaftis, you know, because he's very much like him with that, you know, endless motor, right?
Yeah,
that,
it's just sort of that Karlaftis trait. Yeah,
so,
he's
yeah.
just so quick off the ball. I mean, I thought, look, Frank Clark was one of the faster guys I've ever seen off the ball. This guy here might have him beat. His rookie season, he had 43 tackles. I mean, his freshman season, he had 43 tackles. He had 3.5 sacks, 2 pass breakups, freshman season. I don't know, man. This guy, he kind of reminds me, he has a few traits of other players, but his speed and the way he hits people. In fact, we might get lucky with this guy. And the reason I say that is because he was actually ejected for targeting a quarterback, which I don't think he was intentionally targeting. When I looked at the play, I don't think he was. But that might drop his draft stock a little bit more than – I think it may already be a little lower than what it should be. It may help us. I would love to see him with – agreed – with Chris Jones and Karlaftis on the line. Oh my God. Everybody thinks FAU is a good player, which he may be. He doesn't have that speed off the ball, man. He just doesn't. He's an insanely good player. And he's got a motor, like you're right. He just doesn't quit. Dude's just, and what I like about him compared to other players that have come in to the NFL, yeah, they got a motor, but yet they overrun the play. They don't see the quarterback quickly. This guy, as quick as he is, he doesn't overrun the quarterback. I mean, look what he just did.
That's a hell of a hit, man. Fuck. And that's a clean hit, too. I mean, that
it
was
is
all...
very clean. It's just, I would love to see him playing for the Chiefs, man. We need a guy like that on the edge, and he'd be that guy. Watch how he doesn't put his weight on him. He just brings him down with one arm and buries him in the ground. I mean... Fuck. I don't know, dude. I would love to see him playing for the Chiefs right now.
I'll stand by. You should always take swings at pass rush.
Yeah.
It's the most valuable thing on defense. So
it is.
You should always, always be looking to draft, you know, guys on pass rush. Both the 49ers and Eagles should draft a pass rusher.
Yeah, I agree. We would thrive with him on that line. And I think he has the intelligence to be a very quick learner in the NFL. What's he saying? He said Xavier Thomas reminds me of Carl. Oh, yeah, Carl Lawson, Bengals. Yeah, that's another player. He's got a little of his traits. I don't know if he's a – I can't say he's one of those guys that just – you're going to hear about all the time being ejected or things like that. But I know he's got – when he sees a quarterback, he gets red. He's got that fucking water boy mentality, man. He just goes after him. It's insane. He would be a great asset for us. Anyway, moving on. What else we got, man?
That's all that I have.
Did you fall asleep there for a second? You were kind of zoned out, man.
No, I was looking at my notes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I don't know what else we got. I don't think we have any more. Is there any other questions that we need to answer before we go? He said, do I think Albert Lewis is a Hall of Famer? I do. I think Albert Lewis belongs in the Hall of Fame. He was a great player. If anybody's old enough to remember him, I know Will is, but, yeah, they were absolutely good. He was a great player. If anybody is, like I said, if anybody's old enough to remember how he played, I know you're not, Quentin.
I know.
You weren't even born when he was playing.
I was not even,
you weren't even a swimmer at that point.
No,
I don't even know if your dad's balls dropped at that point, but, yeah, man, I mean, he was a beast. Great player. The special teams was awesome that year. Well, they were good with him on their period, but I do believe, you know, he's one of those guys that probably should be inducted. Anyway, any other questions we got? Let's see. We'll make sure we answer them all before we get off here. And I agree with you, Chris. I do think Joe Walt's going to be gone fairly quick with his size and his ability and his intelligence. He's going to be gone quick. I don't know if he's going to go top 5 or 6, but I think he'll be gone by probably the top 15. Let's see. He said, "Save him." Oh, there it is. He said, "Save him to keep Snead. How would they arrange the money and then pay the draft picks, etc.?" They already have the money lined up, and they can actually. They're okay with the money. They're not really having a problem with that per se. They could always move money around to be able to keep him on. I mean, they've already accounted for it. That's the reason why they tagged him, because they knew what they were going to be able to do. The drafts right now, I think they're not going to be nearly as high as they were the last couple of years, because we had 11 draft picks at that point, 10 and 11. We got, what, 6 or 7, Quentin, this year?
I think we have 7 picks, but we have 2 picks in the 5th round, and we're missing a 6th round pick? We're missing a second. I don't know. Hold on. I mean, I could literally just Google it, and if you can stall long enough for me to type in Chiefs.
Well, I'm not going to sing a song. Picks. I promise you that. I refuse to sing.
No, like, you know, like music, like, dude, like no. Jeopardy music?
No, I can't do it. Fizz has got that downloaded somewhere. I'm sure we could probably play it. But, yeah, I would love to see. Man, can you imagine Alt on this football team?
Oh. They have 7 picks with one of their compensatory picks. So, because they're missing, what is it? They're missing a, I want to say they don't have a second round pick. Because they use
is it
that.
Second?
Oh, no, they have 64. Okay, they got 32, 64, 95, 132. They've got 159 and 173 and 252. So they don't have a 6th round pick, but they have 2 5th round picks.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to, the reason I brought that up is because they're not going to spend nearly as much money as they have in the years past. So I think they're going to be in that range, you know, that's $6 to $7 million range max for the draft. I think they're going to be okay. And they already accounted for it, or they wouldn't have tagged him. You know, just kind of, you have to. If you don't, you really don't know what you're doing. But, with that being said, I don't know what else we got, man.
That's it?
That's it for this episode. We appreciate everybody for joining. If all of you guys could actually go on and buy us a cup of coffee on YouTube and just like and subscribe, that would be awesome. No, wait, it says, any thoughts if any of wide receivers are working out with? There's been a couple that, oh, you mean as far as our wide receivers? Is that what you're talking about, Chris? Because if you are, I'm sure all of them will go down there at some point, because that's kind of what they do. That's almost a prerequisite for if you want to be a wide receiver on the Chiefs, is you got to go down to Tyler and work out with Mahomes. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be something that's going to happen. Oh, you're talking about draft picks? They've already worked out a couple, haven't they, Quentin? They took some from who was it? Oh, no, they haven't worked out anybody, but they have talked to a few that were in the combine.
Andy Reid and Brett Veach were at the combine, so I'm sure they've talked to anybody and everybody they can get their hands on. I'm sure that whoever Kansas City drafts during their initial press conference, they'll definitely work out with them. And they'll be like, yeah, I worked out with them two or three times. And then that's just – so Kansas City, yes, I'm fairly certain that Kansas City has worked out many a wide receivers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the draft players, when Mahomes sets up Pat Camp, he'll – like he did with Rice, yes, he will definitely work out with those guys. Whoever he wants to work out with and the Chiefs bring to him and say, hey, do you want to work out with this guy? He's going to do it. He'll work out with anybody they bring to him, but – he has his favorite. He loved Rice last year. He loved him. That was one that he wanted to make sure Kansas City drafted. So, and he worked out with two or three others. There was one they didn't get that I know he liked a lot, but he does that every year, and he will continue that trend until he retires. That's just something he does. It'll never go away. I know they do like Xavier Worthy. He is kind of slated to come to us. No, it's not tampering. They've done it in the past. I mean, teams are allowed to work out players. So that are draft.
If
players.
They're not, if there's a draft pick that isn't on, that isn't drafted. I mean, it's like teams can't, the NFL can't control, you know, like what they're doing in their free time, you know?
Exactly. So as long as the players haven't been drafted or they're not, you know, even during the draft or whatever,
they haven't signed a contract with anybody yet.
Exactly. So there's no tampering involved. I know there's some IPL kind of rules to certain things, but I don't really think it affects the quarterbacks working out with anybody or teams working out players. So we're all good there. I know Mahomes has made it very clear with everybody that that's something that they have to do, whether they're newly signed from another NFL team, a free agent, or even draft picks. Mahomes wants his hands on him before they bring another player in. He wants to make sure they fit within the way he throws the ball. He's an unorthodox player. And as we've seen in the past, some of these players just don't, they don't fit within our system. And that's something that they want to make sure they do. So, and the guys that we do bring in, whether it be free agents or trades or whatever the case may be, those guys have to be able to get warmed up fairly quickly to play with the most unorthodox quarterback in football. They got to be ready to go come game time. So it is what it is. Anything else before we go, guys? Any other questions? If you have any, we will answer them. If not, we will see you on Thursday. Just let us know. Now we can play the Jeopardy music, Quentin. That's when we need it. You only got so much time. Hey, anytime, man. Thanks for joining. Let's see you on X. Hey, man, jump over to YouTube real quick and subscribe to our channel. We appreciate it, dude. Just like and subscribe. That's all we need. We're not making any money, but it would be nice to, you know, have you like and subscribe. We'll buy us a cup of coffee at some point. Xavier Leggett. Yeah, he's another player that I've heard good things about. I think mainly from you, Philip.
Yeah, out of Carolina.
Out of Carolina, yeah. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, he's... he's going to be something else. I'd love to see him play. I'd love to see him with the Chiefs, but I got a feeling he's going to end up somewhere else. I'm not real sure. With that being said, who do we got? We got anything else, Quentin?
That's it.
All right, guys. We appreciate everybody for joining. Make sure you like and subscribe. We will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everybody.
See ya.